everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 221, the Is It Safe Yet edition. Yes, we are broadcasting here live to Hard Drive on April 2nd, 2008, the day after April Fool's Day, so you know it's just starting to work back into your system that it's okay to click on some of those links your friends send you. It's alright to spread the love of fun and interesting articles that you found, and as long as they weren't posted yesterday, you should be alright. Because everybody knows that, you know, once that midnight deadline is passed wherever you are, it's considered entirely bad form to try and perpetrate an April Fool's joke. In fact, a lot of the jokes actually seem a little bit less funny the next day, so it's not really that cool of a holiday to relive over and over again. So I love the holiday in general. I love lighthearted jests. I love pranks and everything else like that. I actually wrote a little bit of an article on it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But again, this is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast, the high-octane world of tunes and tech, coffee and all things caffeine. But there's one minor adjustment we have to make to today's show. Today's show has no PodSafe music. I'm protesting. And it's not because of anything PodSafe Music did, but it's because I don't know what was wrong with my clicky finger today, but I could not find a good PodSafe Music tune today. I didn't want to go back to the vault for yet another one, and I was like, you know what, I can't find anything. There's been a couple songs I tried out, had really good music, and you know, for like, you know, 30, 45 seconds, I'm like, oh man, I can't wait for this person to start singing, and it comes out like gravel going through a meat grinder or something like that. It was just horrible. And then there's going to be a slight change once PodSafe Music does actually work its way back in on the next show. We're actually going to be moving the time when you hear your PodSafe Music to the end of the show, kind of as a halfway in between the two factions that are very passionate about how they feel about the Caffeination. Both factions, I'm very happy to say, seem to agree on the fact that they do like the Caffeination Podcast, or else they wouldn't keep coming back. However, they disagree on whether or not we should or should not have tunes along with our tech. So in kind of deference to that, what we're going to do is we're going to give you all of your information right up front. We're going to give you the announcements, the news, the real news bites, the tech cruft, the caffeine and food section. Then we're going to play you on out and into the rest of your day with a rockin' PodSafe song. On today's show, you're going to hear about any and all of the following things. You're going to hear about patents, Magenta, Papercraft, coffee, tea, chocolate, and Google. All right, so I'd just like to play on in with some of the interesting little bits of information to let you know how to get to the Caffeination Podcast. We are lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Of course, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find all the other member shows over at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. And of course, the Caffeination Podcast is a Puzzle Piece production. To find out more about what that means, please head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. And before we get on too much to the other stuff, we have a little bit of an update on something we talked about in the last show. WordPress 2.5 is out. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying, you know, I gladly give you my services for X amount of dollars, and I'll upgrade your site to WordPress 2.5. You know what? I'd probably take that job too at this point. That's how easy it was. I mean, I, with all due respect to the people who are putting themselves out there like that, you know, and I probably should be, given how much daycare is going to end up costing, but I'm looking at this, and I was really dreading. I got to tell you, I was honestly dreading upgrading the site. So the update went absolutely seamlessly. Did everything WordPress told you to do, deactivated all the plugins, uploaded the changed files, and I swear to you, no less than 15 to 20 minutes later, the site was back up and running, and you did not notice a thing, hopefully. If you did, we're 1,000 pardons for that. However, you know, it seems so much quicker. I mean, you're even getting to see the pages quicker, most of the really big changes are on the back end. So if you have a WordPress site and you're running around 2, 2.1, you know, whatever like that, you know, I'd really honestly suggest you should try out WordPress 2.5. It's really good. And then in the same vein of trying software out, today on my Mac, I absolutely hate the way Firefox 2 has worked on my Mac. It's, you know, it's not enough to make me switch back to Safari, which I'm not really a big fan of either. But, you know, I've been using Opera right around the same amount as Firefox. And for those of you who don't know, those are all different kinds of internet browsers. So if you're using a PC or something, and a little blue E on there for Internet Explorer, you know, these are just different kinds of programs that do the same thing. And Firefox 2, up until this point, I've loved it, but it has this memory problem, and it just gets slower and slower the longer it's open. And I'm online for a while at a time. So I updated to Firefox 3 Beta 5. I don't even know how many more things they can have after that, but I got to tell you, first impressions, this thing is sleek, it's spiffy, and it is unbelievably fast. So as soon as they actually put the release candidates up there, I'll do a full review and let you know about it, but I heartily suggest you head on over there and check that out. Also over at the Caffeination Podcast, we have a fun little rundown, like I said, of our wonderful little April Fool's Day article. Basically, it told about some of the interesting things that we saw yesterday. Hopefully, you saw some fun ones, too, and you can comment back in. You know, hey, feel free to call in, do whatever else you feel like doing here for the Caffeination Podcast. You know, you can, of course, call in. You know, we do have a fun listener line if you'd like to play around with that. That's 215-240-1319. But, you know, there was a interesting little thing. Everybody was playing these different tricks with Rick Rolling, which, if you don't know, Rick Astley's video plays, and it's Never Gonna Give You Up. It's just, it's a bad video. The voice doesn't match to the red-haired kid singing it, and there's... I'll just direct you to the article because I can't listen to the song anymore. But ThinkGeek did not disappoint, as they had fantastic products out there. They had a USB pregnancy test. They had Super P Brothers. They had a soundtrack shirt with a fantastic video attached to that. There was Cafe Press, who tried to start a dating service. And Google had Google Time, which actually, for some reason, snagged a lot of people. So basically, not Google Time, but custom time, so that you could set the time when your email would have been sent. So basically, like, you would have been able to send an email to your boss to say that you were going to be late. But You know, let's just say it was later on in the day, and you say that you sent it at 4 a.m., so, you know, a little bit of backdating. You know, of course, that's unethical. You could theoretically do it, but it's not the way things are supposed to work. Every once in a while, I get a spam message that says it arrived back in 1997. I'm like, dude, I haven't had this email address since 1997. This is on Gmail, man. If you're going to put it before April 1st, 2004, you're pretty much, you know, a little bit out of luck there. And then the other really, really well-done one was the BBC actually used April Fool's to kind of market a product. Yeah, they have a way you can watch, if you're in the UK, you can watch BBC, the shows that were on, rather, the BBC for the last week, and they have a Flight of the Penguins video that is unbelievable, and has Terry Jones from the comedy troupe Monty Python as the narrator, in case you didn't recognize him. So, really good stuff. You head on over to caffeination.com and check out that, and then you can also see the fun little pranks that were played in my office. So, I'm just not going to go into that too much more. We have a great show lined up for you today, like I said. We have a bunch of real news bites, a little bit of tech cruft, and then some caffeine and food to send you on your way. So, usually, you know, I pretty much talked through the area we would have normally had the PodSafe music, but we're rocking right on here, and we're going to settle on into the real news bites here. Now, just for the people who may not have may not understand exactly what this is stuff that has what I consider a little bit more of a serious tone to it. So it's not necessarily just junk floating around. It's not necessarily throwaway news, but it's really it's some of the times it's stuff that I like to expound upon a little bit more at length. So if I plan on spending a little bit more time on a topic, it usually ends up in the real news bites section, just to let you know. All right, first up here, we have a fun little article from Engadget. Deutsche Telekom, or you might know them rather as T-Mobile, has demanded that Engadget Mobile, the website Engadget iMobile, which reviews all kinds of mobile handsets and stuff, stop using the color magenta. Yeah, that's right, because apparently T-Mobile has a branding restriction on other people using the color magenta. Actually, it's one specific color of magenta. So in case you're a web designer and everything else like that, and you're looking to find, you know, exactly... if you're a web designer or something and you're trying to brand your site and you're going to be selling cell phones, I would stay very far away from RAL4010, because T-Mobile apparently has a lock on that. Now, I've linked two specific stories from up at Engadget. First of all, they actually posted this on March 31st, so it was not an early April Fool's Day joke. They were trying to stress how important this was. They got a nasty gram from T-Mobile, basically saying that they were infringing on copyright here. You know, it's a completely... It's a completely wrong way of looking at it. And companies are willing to do this just because it kind of asserts their brand where they think other people might be horning in. And Apple's done it with the iPod thing. And usually it gets knocked down. And usually people start out with very inflammatory statements. And in this case, if you read any of the comments on the sections, people flip out. They turn their entire site magenta. And you know what? If it was serious, I would consider at least changing the background of the Caffeination podcast to magenta. Just kind of as a little bit of a solidarity move, and a lot of the other people have done that already. But the thing is that, I don't think they're going to have that much of a problem. And the second article explains why. Apparently, in November, T-Mobile was starting to sue some of the people. Yeah, November of 2007. T-Mobile was starting to sue some of the people who had magenta. And, they actually had some legitimate cases. There was another cell phone manufacturer in Germany who was using magenta as a color. And now, I have a problem with certain companies just, putting a trademark on blue or putting a trademark on pink or stuff like that. And there's some things that I didn't know. And here's just a little rundown. T-Mobile has a trademark on this specific color of magenta. All right, so we got that. Owens Corning has a trademark on the use of the color pink for insulation. Tiffany & Company has a trademark for the certain color of blue that's in their jewelry boxes. UPS has trademarked brown. And so it's just... I don't understand. I mean, that alongside the Burberry, that one specific kind of plaid that nobody else can use because they didn't think of it first, it's just seems ridiculous. I can see, setting aside a logo. You know what? Nobody else can use this. I can see setting aside a name. Nobody else can use that. But it's a color. It has existed within the spectrum. So when you see that little color wheel inside Photoshop, guess what? That color's already in there. That predates your attempt to use and lock down to that one color. So, I understand the spirit behind the things, but it just seems more than a little bit ridiculous. However, I do like Engadget's actual cheat sheet on this, which is how you can tell whether or not they are actually infringing upon things. And the first thing is, in the older article, they actually run down exactly what would have to happen in order for them to win the case. Basically, you have to be, first of all, using their color of magenta. Second of all, you're using it to sell, distribute, or advertise a telecommunications product. Third thing is, the way that you're using it is likely to deceive or confuse somebody else into thinking that T-Mobile is somehow involved. So basically, in the idea behind this is that these trademark laws are put in place so that consumers aren't confused. Right now, everybody's confused about whether or not they can use magenta, so just basically, if you're selling cell phones, then I'd be worried. Otherwise, don't even think about it. And then here's the thing that they said, just a handy little guide that they put out there. For Deutsche Telekom, they are a cell phone carrier, and Engadget Mobile is not. Does Engadget Mobile actually distribute telecom equipment? Nope. Does Deutsche Telekom? Yes, of course they do. Are they likely to be mistaken for T-Mobile? Well, Deutsche Telekom, we certainly hope so. And Engadget Mobile? Nope. And they just run down the whole list of things, so you can head on over there and check that out if you find that funny. I just thought it was kind of ridiculous that it's gotten to this level, and I really don't think that they have a strong case at this point, but we're just going to wait and see, because, hey, my site's blue and brown, so I think I'm safe here. Yes, it is a specific color of blue, and I'm very protective of it. We're going to call it the Caffeination Puzzle Piece Productions style of blue, because I seem to gravitate towards one particular shade. That's what we're going to do. But I think Slashdot has something similar, so I might be up a creek without a paddle here. I can't talk correctly today. All right. Next thing we have up here in Real News Bites is actually patent donations. There's a little article that's kind of put out there as kind of like a message to the editor kind of thing over at Slashdot. And basically, one guy said, he's a software engineer, and he comes up with what he considers to be patentable ideas all the time. And he's not really interested in fulfilling them. He's not really interested in taking them to the next step. So what he's saying is, how about somebody set up a fund somewhere to where you can say, I'm going to patent this idea and then sign it immediately over to an open source foundation so that they have control of the wider spectrum of things. I think that is a fantastic idea. And this way, you're not going to have, individual little software engineers or individual little companies buying single patents from some guy in his garage where he, found out that he could use the internet to educate people like the Blackboard service has been doing, and say, then just start going around after the fact and say, you can't use that to teach people online. We thought of that first. Really, you thought of teaching people online first. It's an oversimplification of the problem, but I like the idea of what they're trying to do here. I like the fact that they're saying, if you have a really good idea and you don't plan on making money about it or making money through it. What I think they should actually do is take it one step further. This organization will actually spend the money to help you get the patent. I'm not sure what fees are involved, but they'll help you with the application process or the application fee, and then you turn the patent over to them. I think that would be a good idea, and that would actually help increase the open array of information that would be available. So you just kind of putting that out there. Then the next thing we have up here is actually something that's interesting in the news right now. It's called Skewed News. I don't know if I'm saying this correct here, but Skews is actually a site whose the idea is behind it is to try and detect media bias, basically through other people voting and through different things that happen online. You know, using I'm pretty sure like a heuristic scan of the text, be able to parse through the text and the things that they link to, decide whether or not, you know, whether it's leaning left or leaning right, whether it's a liberal or a conservative site. And it's a good idea in theory, but I gotta tell you, this has a very, very real specter of McCarthyism that could grow out of it. There's a very real problem that could happen, because let's just say, you know, it tilts one side to the other, and then all of a sudden the other side, there is no truly neutral position on anything. You just have to accept that. Everybody has some bias, no matter how great or how small, and the people who don't acknowledge their bias are actually the people that you need to watch the most, because they don't realize that they're actually influenced by certain things. So, this is all coming out of growing from an anthropology degree. This is all, you know, how I was taught, and it's just kind of the things that I've come to understand through my different study of people. I'm actually going to start another blog. Maybe I'll just call it "I'm Studying You Right Now." But I mean, just seeing the things, and I've seen people misuse ideas more often than not when they don't think that there's a bias involved, when they think they are a true neutral party. You know, there is no true neutral. You got to understand that, work from your bias, and hope to come to some kind of understanding between the two. But I think a site like Skews is a very good idea in theory, but I have a feeling it's going to end badly. That's just me. Another little bit of very interesting and very cool news is that Microsoft and Google have kind of been competing for the two varied sizes of Google Apps. The first thing being, you know, Google Apps has this fantastic cloud version of all their applications. Everything's online. The only thing is, if you don't have connectivity, you don't have access to your documents. Microsoft's the opposite. Basically, you know, you have it on your desktop, and, you know, if you want to work with somebody else, then you have to deal with email, you have to deal with version controls, and it's just much more clunky. Well, Google has apparently unplugged the Google Apps, and apparently you're going to be able to start taking the documents with you. So you're going to be able to view and edit Google Word Docs and soon Google Spreadsheets unplugged from the net. This is an announcement yesterday. And apparently it's not an April Fool's joke. Google has a very big habit of announcing things on April Fool's Day. That's when Gmail actually came out. But I'm really excited to see exactly where this can go. Because, I mean, the only thing they really need to fix in Google Docs, at least from my perspective, is the formatting for print issues. And it never was really a problem because, you know, they kind of lived where they were. But it could be a problem if you start unplugging them. And the article goes on to say, and I kind of agree with it, that basically, you know, Google was in a much better position to do this, because Google already had lightweight cloud apps. They already had lightweight apps that were out in the ether, so to speak, the Ethernet rather. And then all they had to do was actually design a similarly lightweight client to live on the on your machine to handle the same stuff. Microsoft, on the other hand, has these monolithic programs that are all over everybody's computer. Everybody has a different version of them. And then in order to create some kind of cloud space, in order to create some kind of mind share between them, you start having different, you know, problems. And they can't squeeze all that information down. So from starting from a smaller install base and from starting from a smaller idea, it's much easier to branch out from that rather than try and shrink it down. It's like trying to turn a sonnet into a haiku at that point. You know, you can always fit a couple haikus into one sonnet, but it just doesn't work the other way around. You know, all right. Next little thing we have up here is not exactly real news, but it's real awesome. One of our friends from Twitter, I'm just calling them the Twitterati at this point. They are the illuminated people over at twitter.com/caffeination. All the people who follow me over there, and you too could also be one of those people, have chipped in every once in a while and just send out these fantastic links. And there's one from Coffee Breath that I absolutely have to share from you. She apparently saw on one of the previous episodes that we we have a love for papercraft and different little bits of origami. So she sent me this awesome website. Basically, if you have a double-sided printer, or if you have an inkjet printer and that's capable of taking heavy stock paper, you can go over there and for free print out these 8.5 by 11 pages and fold them into different creatures, both great and small. And it just seems to be a kind of fun little thing to play around with. You know, you have the kids and stuff like that, so it just kind of be cool. And I remember Dave from over at Global Geek Podcast actually had a calendar on a dodecahedron, a 12-sided solid. So, I mean, that's cool, too. But this is kind of just neat little fun toys that you can print out and play with. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. That's just neat. All right, next up, we have the Tech Cruft section here. It's just a bunch of different interesting little things that I found floating around the internet. The first one up is also from Engadget, but this has a little bit more of a special meaning. David Beckham, yeah, the bend it like Beckham guy. But David Beckham, the fantastic, or at one point in time fantastic, English soccer player or / football player, depending on where you are. This is a strange topic to talk about. I really like soccer. I'm just not very into it. I don't know everything in and out. I love watching it. I think it's a beautiful game, but it's just one of those things where there's certain terminology that's very different from one side of the pond to the other. And apparently he's made his 100th appearance for England in national play, and his teammates all chipped in and bought him kind of a commemorative item, to say the least. It's a $1,800 iPod. What is it? Well, it's a 32 gigabyte iPod Touch, and it's gilded in solid gold. So on the back it says it has the England the crest up at the top, then it has iPod, then it says David Beckham for his 100th England cap. Basically, when he entered into the match, that was his 100th cap. So it was kind of cool, just kind of fun to see the different things from around the world, the different little trophies that people see. Next little thing we have here is AT&T is getting all the toys. I swear to you, I don't like the company. I never had really good service when I was with them. Not that Verizon's any better. It's just they have a little bit better coverage, but AT&T is getting all the cool things. If you remember a little while ago, we talked about something called Microsoft Surface. Basically, this really crazy cool touchscreen, like this. Imagine a desktop blotter, like from the old school desks, and had all kinds of different touching capabilities. You could set drinks on it; it would charge you for them. You could put down your cell phone; it would synchronize your contacts. You could look at maps. It was very interactive. It had all kinds of. Imagine like the iPod Touch in a much larger sense, and it had a lot more connectivity things. Well, apparently you're going to be able to play around with these things in AT&T stores coming later on this month. I'm not going to switch over to their service, but they have all the new toys. I got to tell you, they are the Batman of the phone world at this point. So yeah, I'm definitely going to make a stop into AT&T store just to see if I can play around with one of these. But they're a 30-inch touchscreen, and it's just going to be a joy to look at. And I know it's going to be crowds around it, but hey, it's just kind of fun to sit there and play around with interesting technology you find. We've been spending a little bit of time recently talking about some of the fun but tiny gadgets and very useful gadgets, and a lot of them have centered around the car, and this is no different. Over at the website Device, which is the former home of the Sci-Fi Tech blog, for those of you not in the know, they have an interesting little gadget. This is a rechargeable 12-volt DC LED flashlight. Imagine a mag light, but make the mag light the size of a cigarette lighter. And then you take it one step further. So this actually plugs into your cigarette lighter, it recharges, and it's incredibly bright LED lighting. And you leave it plugged in, and it will shine for 120 minutes on a 7-hour charge. So basically, you leave this thing in your car, and whenever you need it, I think you can just leave it in there. It's only $25, and they're very ruggedized, so it's really pretty cool looking. But the thing I need to know is, after it's fully charged, does it shut itself off? So is it possible to just leave these in place of the cigarette chargers, or in place of the empty ports in your car, and not worry about overcharging them and not worry about draining your battery? Because if that's true, then this is a sell. Because this is exactly what every car needs. This should be in your emergency kit. Just in case you have a dead battery, it should keep the charge, But at the same point in time, it's only $25. And it's just one of those things, it comes in 5 different colors. We have orange, purple, yellow, magenta, and blue. So hopefully they won't get sued for that one. Because, it is mobile. You can actually take it from one place to another. All right, up again here, we have an interesting little thing. Another little way to live off the grid. Do you hate having to find batteries for the different speaker systems that you have laying around the house? How would you like something? It's called a Phonophone. It's the iPod passive amplification system. Imagine the old school Alexander Graham Bell phonographs. Turning around and make it out of molded plastic. And then have a tiny little hole in the center. You have the big bell, it curves around and goes a very, very elegantly designed piece. And of course, for $500, it should be. And what it can do is it can actually take the sound coming out of your earphones and amplify it up to 55 decibels. Basically, it's going from a tiny little buzz to the loudest setting on most laptop speakers. And it does it through just dropping your little earphones into this tiny hole in the very top and center of the piece. I gotta tell you, it's a wonderful little piece of engineering. I don't think it should be a $500 piece of engineering, but I just thought I should pass it along to people. And I just thought it was kind of interesting, kind of fun, kind of cool. Hopefully you could, you know, play around with that if you ever see one of them. But still, I mean, it's just that's one of those that's one of those pieces where you just kind of look at it and you go, some people have way too much money on their hands. I'd rather spring for a little bit of battery. I'd rather take a little charger and plug it into the wall. This is a great idea, but I think you're stretching a little bit far on the price here. Let's see what else we got going here. We have just a little bit of caffeine and food-related items. We're going to play around with that, and then we're going to head you on your way, so hopefully you'll enjoy this section as well. And I am, like, I got to tell you, I'm feeling a little bit lost at this point, knowing that I don't have anything to play for you at the end of the show, but it's just, we're trying to get on through. We're trying to get past it, and hopefully you'll find it interesting from here on out. But if you remembered last month, our good friend Michael over at the I Need Coffee website found a whole bunch of guys who actually had a very similar problem, rather. We were all addicted to coffee, and Michael actually wrote an article recently, or actually was recently back then, talking all about the different people who were addicted to coffee and the different scales of caffeine addiction within the community over at ineedcoffee.com. And you know, I contributed to it. One of the ideas I had was a Show Us Your Mug contest. We got people from the Caffeination podcast and the surrounding community to all kind of chip in and do this. And there's actually a couple people from the Caffeination podcast who made it into today's little offering. And Michael came out with yet another edition of the Show Us Your Mug. So basically the Coffee Mugs of Coffee Fanatics Part 2. This is only 1 month after. So everybody who sent me in a mug and said, you know, I know it's not, I know it's after the contest, because we tried to help Michael out and held a little contest. So hey, if you're considering it, still doing it, I'll gladly forward all the mugs along to Michael, and he might end up actually doing another one. But I don't know, I just think this is kind of cool. It's kind of a different way to, everybody's mug tells a little bit of a story about them, whether or not you think that it does. Your mugs is unique. There's not very many other people that have it. And you know, either if you're talking about my massive beer stein of a mug from the Renaissance Fair here in Pennsylvania, or you're talking about Mike Rhodes, mug from you know, that just shows a picture of him and his son from last year's Father's Day. I mean, every little mug that's up there has a different little bit piece of a story about it, and it's that kind of story that really makes podcasting and makes social media interesting. So it's just a different way of doing it, just a different way of looking at it. And a special shout out goes to Jeff Manning and Michael Long, who both sent in mugs and had them included. Jeff Manning from his Daddy Rockstar blog, and Mike Long from Mike's Technology News over at 13mtn.wordpress.com for Mike's stuff. Both of them sent in different little mugs over there, and you can see them. They were included along with Mike Rohde, Ryan Jacobs, and Alex Schofield. So it's just really cool to see all this different little stuff floating around out there. Another 5 mugs to add to the grand gallery over there, and I salute all of you gentlemen. So yeah, it's just kind of interesting, and then we're moving right along to the next thing. I'm pretty sure everybody out there has heard about something called Twisted Tea. It's the hard iced tea. It's kind of a malt beverage that's out there. I've heard the term Alka-Pop be thrown out in reference to that. Mike's Hard Lemonade, stuff like that. Basically, it's like an alcohol pop drink. It's an alcohol soda to a certain extent. And this isn't that. This is green tea with a twist, rather. Imagine a bottle of mineral water water, and we're not really big on mineral water here at the Caffeination. I think, you know, your tap is more than fine enough for most people, and you know, it helps decrease waste if you're not sitting there and drinking bottled water all the time. But and I also think bottled water is actually one of the most expensive things, you know, by comparison from some of the other stuff that's out there. But anyway, beyond that point, there's an interesting little product that's recently come out. This is called Instant Tea by Twisting the Cap of a Bottle. So it's matcha tea with a twist. Basically, imagine a short bottle of mineral water with a lovely green cap, green and white cap. When you twist the green section while holding the white section of the cap, it actually releases concentrated green tea powder into the drink itself. No word yet on when it, how much it's going to cost. Everything's in Japanese, I believe. I think it's in Japanese. But it just looks really cool. You can buy cases of it for $35, and apparently, according to one of the ads that's on the website right now. Of course, it wasn't there when I was preparing all the information, but hey, just kind of interesting. And I really like this idea. I mean, I think they should do this for coffee. I mean, I think it should be like a dollar, and you get like an instant coffee. It's just, you know, wood, you know, plain, fine, filtered water with a little bit of coffee concentrated up the top. You little give a little twist, pops right on into there. You give a little shake, and then you too have an instant iced coffee or something like that. I think that'd be a great idea. I don't know if there's any, you know, I know with coffee and with other instant beverages, there's a little bit of sediment that settles at the bottom when you mix them in the plant and then ship it. So this is an interesting way around that problem, and I just kind of think it's a fun little way to play around with the topic in general. All right, moving right along yet again. How many people out there like to play with your food? I know I do, but I'm never to this level. Now, I work with a whole bunch of architects, so I know that they're all just a little bit off kilter when it comes to certain things. But how about Jell-O-scapes? Jell-O-scapes are actually an idea of people trying to recreate monuments across the world in Jell-O. Now, architects, according to the article and according to my own empirical evidence, don't necessarily like to work with things that move very often. They like to work with sturdy materials specifically for models because it's much easier to create and control. I mean, Jell-O kind of lends itself to molds, and that's what they kind of did. So basically, you have in this summer's London Festival of Architecture, there's going to be a whole bunch of different molds. It's something called Architects for Aid. It's a charity dedicated to building expertise in our community groups around the world. So I think it's kind of a neat way, and they're going to be recreating different iconic buildings from around the world in Jell-O. So it's kind of cool, kind of fun to play with. And then the last little bit of information that we have here is possibly the most decadent piece of information we've ever actually talked about here on the Caffeination Podcast. And seriously, if the company listens to this show and they would like me to try it out, I promise you, I will gladly accept and try this, but yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately. How would you like a $2,400 box of chocolate? Now, chocolate does contain caffeine, so it feels right at home within this section. But $2,400, what exactly does that get you? Well, everybody has a slightly different palate. They have slightly different things in which their palate can accept, the way they enjoy food. So how about a completely and utterly customized set of truffles? That is what one company is offering you. The Sir Hans Sloane Chocolatier Company, it's a chocolate and champagne house in London, has created the ultimate gift. It's called the Bespoke Service. Basically, you have to apply to this. There's an application process that goes through. There's an interview process that goes through. They ask you questions along the lines of, how do you consume chocolate? Do you suck the chocolate slowly? Do you let it dissolve in your mouth? Do you like to chew it? Do you like a little bit of bite to it? Or do you like things floating in it? I don't even know all this stuff that they actually get there. But I got to tell you, you get 60 chocolates out of this. You get a special handmade rosewood and maple inlaid box. So the box is obviously going to last longer than the chocolates. And I'm pretty sure the resulting confection will be absolutely unbelievable. And I had the very good fortune at one point in time of actually having chocolate that was probably $150 for an entire box of it. My wife and I were walking through San Francisco. We happened upon this little handmade truffle shop and coffee shop. I wanted a cup of coffee, so we bought some chocolate. It was like maybe like 50 cents a truffle or something if you were there. But apparently Oprah thought it was one of the 7 best chocolate places in the world. We just happened to walk by it. So it was kind of one of those fun things, and if I remember to find the link, I'll gladly send you the link to that. If you have $150 or $200 or $200 $1,400 to create your own special little chocolate memory. Well, that's about all the time we have for today here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. I'm just going to give you a quick little rundown on where you too can find the rest of this stuff. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find all the other member shows over at techpodcasts.com. The Caffeination Podcast is also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, and we are also a proud Puzzle Piece production. So for all of those out there who enjoyed today's show, and even those who didn't, please feel free to send in comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail over to caffeination@gmail.com. So thanks for listening, everybody. Stay caffeinated, people.